15 to 20 million.
Jump out!
I am your future.
Isn't it about time for a change?
We're our national leader.
AmericanWorkersRadio.com.
You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products, with your host Michael Blihash.
Welcome to another edition of American Workers Radio here on 860 AM Radio. First, I would like to say thank you to all of the people that are tuning in, and I'm going to ask that you go to your telephone, invite family members and friends to tune in here on 860 AM Radio. We have a great signal in the tri-state area. If you live in southeastern Pennsylvania, the state of New Jersey, or northern Delaware, get everyone tuned in to 860. Now, anyone can listen from any part of the world or the USA simply by going on the internet and typing in AmericanWorkersRadio.com, then click on the Listen Live link and you'll be able to hear us live for the rest of the hour. Well, as you know, many things have been going on here in the USA, and I want to first of all tell you that last weekend we had a very successful National Small Business Weekend. A lot of good things were happening. I'm on the phone today with Mark Andel, as you know, who is the founder of Made in America store in Buffalo. And we got some pretty snowy weather here in Philadelphia, Mark. So that means that you might be selling some plows and stuff in the Buffalo.
You got it, Mike. It is snowing pretty heavy here. We got one of them Buffalo Lake Effect snow squall storms going on right now. And it was funny, we just had a bus from Erie, PA, come to the store, and it's the first one we really had during a snowstorm. So I plowed quick and then got the people off. But, yeah, you know, it does help my business, General Welding and Fabricating. We sell snow plows and parts. And, you know, people do have to clean up the businesses around Buffalo. So it is a blessing for us, even though, you know, we're the 1% that like it.
Now, Mark, I hope that people are logging onto your site and checking out what you have available for the Christmas holiday. And I encourage everybody, I'll be mentioning that a little later on in today's broadcast, give Mark some of the business that we're talking about, because he has done a tremendous amount of work to get jobs for people in his areas and also to promote the Made in America movement, which is almost unbelievable. And, you know, as I was talking with my friends at ABC World News, I am pleased to say that those who are tuning in at night for the evening news with Diane Sawyer and David Muir, they'll notice that more and more reports are coming out about businesses wanting to return to the USA, of course, having some difficulties because of overtaxation, overregulation, now the healthcare issue, and so much more. But Mark, I am very pleased to report to you and all of our listeners that, as I mentioned, we had House Bill 530 passed in the Senate, the House of in Pennsylvania. Now, this week, I'm pleased to mention that Senator Michael Stack of Philadelphia is taking House Bill 530 and introducing it into the Senate of Pennsylvania, which will ask the senators to agree that we should buy all of our flags made in America only, and also put all American-made products on as many lists as possible for the Commonwealth when they need to purchase something. That in itself is a very positive gesture. So my compliments to our very own Mark Cohen on the Democrat side, to Paul Clymer on the Republican side, and now Senator Michael Stack on the Democratic side in the Senate of Pennsylvania. We may be able to see a lot more positive things happening for American made. Now, one more thing I want to mention. Last week, we had a beautiful presentation in the Wednesday, December 4th edition of the Northeast Times. It's a very popular paper in the city of Philadelphia and surrounding areas. We had a beautiful presentation on page five, and that is support your local businesses throughout the year and during National Small Business Weekend. And I want to thank the person we work with up at the Northeast Times, Penny McBride. Many of our listeners know her. She's a great salesperson and a great promoter of American businesses. And I want to compliment the Northeast Times because they have been doing a wonderful, wonderful job. It's a huge circulation. I believe in all of their zones, they do about 200,000 newspapers a month. So my compliments to the Northeast Times. Well, Mark, in my travels and probably in your travels, we hear from a lot of people. And as I go out, listeners tell me, Michael, why can't we get more jobs back in America fast? Well, after listening to Paul Downs, the cabinet maker, last week, people again said to me, they were great guests. It's almost the Mark Andel type story. But why can't we get more of those people to bring in more people so that they would be able to increase our employment base? Well, my usual answer is we're living in very difficult times. Business people, organizational people are living in very difficult times. And today we have more workers in the world than we ever had before. If you look at how emerging democracies changed in the last 10 years, 15 years, China has a million new workers. India has 750,000 new workers, and it's country after country. We have to get back on the track of getting jobs back here so we now can compete with them. And I say, I always wish things were easy in the world, but they're not. So we have to get back to the survival mode, and so that they'll be able to bring those jobs and we'll be able to survive this long-lasting recession. It's the recession of our life. Mark, you've been in business how many years?
Yeah, well, I started my first business out of my dad's garage in 1985.
So since 1985, how many recessions have you been through?
You know, we've been through a lot with the Desert Storm, a couple of wars, recessions up and down. And, you know, the first 10 years, I got to be honest, I didn't even look at the TV, watch the news. I just kept my head down. I mean, we just worked hard and, you know, living that American dream. And, Mike, I can't say enough for the work ethic of my people and even people like yourself and the difference our listeners, the difference people are making, I think is real important. This is the holiday season. But my team this year, just to keep the lights on at General Welding and Made in America Store, had to work extra. We did a lot more with less. But good people can make change, and that's what I just want to stress to the people when you're out there shopping for the holidays. You know, take a look. Do your part. It does help. It's voting's very important, but buying American and supporting your country, and again, no matter who I talk to, Russians, Japanese, we all agree, support the country you live in. We want fair trade. But now's the time to really make a difference, and as you see these, a lot of people don't relate to, you know, you're buying a product, even at my store, we have 6,500 products. We support 400 private companies that build them products by chance. None of them are publicly traded because the publicly traded companies are slaves to the shareholders. They have to go overseas. They have to get that lower labor income. But we're smart, too, as Americans. We can use ingenuity. There's automation. We can make things smarter. And that's what we got to continue to do, but we got to ask for it. And, Mike, you're very good at it. We go to the stores. I can't stress to the listeners, the consumers, to make sure that cashiers know that you're asking for Made in America. You're looking.
Very important, Mark. In fact, I always tell people, I say, put yourself in the place of a business person. You know yourself. Your house insurance goes up, your heating, your cost of telephone, everything went up. Well, a businessman also has those costs going up, so they're really struggling to have all of those bills paid with the income that they have. And now that you have the recession, it's really been hard for some of the businesses to even consider going the next step forward. Many people want to, and people are getting the message loud and clear that smaller businesses are going to be the way America is going to continue in the future. The Mark Andel types, the 50, the 60, the 75 people, business is going to be where it's going to be. But when you see all of these costs continue to rise and the health care is going up and the regulations are drowning the people, this is why many of the employers are saying, for a while, I'm going to go with all part-time people. And that's really not what the American dream is all about.
Right. You know, and you, a lot of people don't grab, you know, what we're talking about sometimes, buy American. Okay, you go to the shelves, you pick it up, oh, it's made in America. But then you got to follow that product back to the factory that it's made in. It's not just the toy. It might be the box. You're helping the box company. You're helping the wrapper company. You're helping the glue company, the nail company. How many legs, that spider web effect, they don't really grab hold of. But once they get educated and they really learn what we're talking about, because that factory that you're helping or that small mom and pop, then they have to hire people because there's more demand. There's more supply-demand. And once you grab that concept, and that's how things are done. This week, Mike, I've been joking. The elves, Santa Claus, elves are happy because we're selling more, you know, made in America and all them factories, you know. But these people thank us. When I write the checks to the people that supply Made in America store, it almost chokes me up because these checks are going across the country, and I know they're struggling. Even when me and you, Mike, talk, you know, our board, and, you know, Henry knows how much it really takes to stay in business in the United States right now. No matter what your good or great idea is, you have to be able to keep the doors open, the lights on, your workers working, and then hopefully you get to make your product. But it takes a lot to keep – that's what we're talking about, government regulation, different things they could help us, because if we can't keep the factory open, we can't make the product. And then, of course, you try to stay competitive. And if you're not competitive, you can't sell the product.
Exactly. And, you know, Mark, people are getting a very good idea of what it takes to be in business, and they appreciate their local employers much more than they have in the past, because for some years, everybody lived in this glass bubble that everything is going wonderful and we're just going to live in the Kelly and the Blue Book type world, and it's not that way at all. When you stop to think the amount of money that our businesses have to put out in putting in money into taxes, regulations, permits, and everything else. Mark, 10 years ago, say in the year 2000, 10 years ago, would you say your costs would be 20% less to operate?
Absolutely, Mike. Hands down. I mean, with compensation, the insurances, utilities. And the problem is you can't necessarily get that back over the counter, especially at my manufacturing business. You know, you can only charge so much. There's only so much the customer will pay no matter what. Now, you always try to get a little more, and you're given a good service. We sell a quality service. You know, I like to say we sell, you know, our mission statement is to sell quality, unique goods and number one customer service from the product landing at General Welding or Made in America to when the customer takes ownership of it. But to do that, it absolutely went up probably 20 to 30%, Mike, without a question. And there's a lot more competition, but there isn't as much work. And that's what a lot of people don't grab. We need more jobs at General Welding to bid on. There's just not enough work going on out there. And then you take Buffalo, if there's 10 or 15 of us fabrication facilities, we're all bidding the same job. And the customer throws it around time and time again, and they really generally go with the lowest bidder. They might like me more than the other, or quality. I got a great reputation. But, you know, again, it's always not about me. What I do, people say, oh, you're a welder. I create jobs. I sleep with my 45 employees. I worry, you know, my goal is to get them a paycheck every week. And a lot of people don't grab. We're not talking big, big business like GM and whatnot. We're talking the one-person shop, 5 people, 40 people, 50 people. It's a lot. That business owner has to go through a lot of work right now to make a dollar.
Absolutely, Mark. And that is why we beg people to go out and look for those labels. What cheers me up, I was out several days in the last, say, 10 days to see what's going on in the stores. And as I go in, I talk to the people. I don't try to make myself a pain in the neck or whatever. And most of the people I meet in the stores are first-time salespeople or whatever. I've been going around to different stores. They tell me that people are asking more than they ever imagined that they would. But I liked hearing that people are starting to ask questions like, why don't you have products made in America? Are there dealers in the country that you're ignoring, that you could bring in, that we could have here on your shelf, That's the kind of question I like when the people in the stores tell me that the American people are starting to speak up. It's like, wow, this is where we are going to make success.
Absolutely. You know, and people just play such a big part. And a lot of times they're misled by other companies that are just trying to make money and, you know, greed. And like Rich says, businesses are in a position to make money. They're in business to make money. But I agree and disagree. I mean, we have to make money to survive, to grow, and to stay healthy. But you have to love your country, you know, which I don't think is done enough, Mike. You know, America is a great, beautiful country. And our soldiers, I always support 200%. But you have to love your country. You have to have patriotism. And you have to think about that purchase. We have to get people more involved that care and really realize it, you should take a little more time to shop. You should really think about the issues that are going on.
Now, Mark, I have a question. In Philadelphia tomorrow, Councilman Mark Skoula from the 1st Councilmatic District in Philadelphia is introducing something that him and I have been discussing for a little bit. It is Philadelphia Supports National Small Business Weekend. That's going to be introduced as a resolution in City Council, which would request city elected officials and everybody else to help local businesses support local businesses, especially during the first weekend of the month, of course, throughout the year. But maybe we would be able to ask somebody in council in Buffalo to introduce such a resolution. I know a few council people up there in Buffalo. Maybe we can contact them. Maybe you can contact them. You may have to be the main pusher for the area, but it would help you and some of your other fellow small businesses, especially as you get attention to small businesses during the first weekend of the month.
You know, Mike, when I first opened up Made in America store, old, you know, abandoned car dealership in Alma, and the town board was behind me in Alma here, and it was April 2010, and Mike Nolan was supervisor of Alma, but he made it a resolution, you know, in our town. He said, you know, we've got to do this too, and we've got to have a resolution that we always try to buy Made in America. That was a great start, and if you go Democrat, Republican, it didn't matter, and then Brian Higgins has been awesome. You know, of course, Brian sent me down to the Make It in America seminar in Washington, D.C. He would be one, but absolutely. You know, and with the flag, it's something we can all agree on. Our American flag, our country's flag, should be made in our country. It should be flown above our soldiers that served our country. And that's a great place to start.
Right. Our elected officials have to start focusing on what's going to keep their constituents employed. For so many years, they looked the other way while our people struggle. Now they have to start with these small resolutions. And also, I can't imagine that a city council in every city, in every township across the USA, has not brought up these resolutions years ago. How is it even possible that you can have a rally, a football game, and pass out little flags made in a foreign country? It doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, we have this weekend, Mike, is our all-American Christmas. And I like it because it's the holiday season. Right now we got snow falling. We just put about a 30-foot tree up out front, overdo it a little bit, and we have a tree lighting. But it's nice to gather all the people around and celebrate the holidays and also explain you know, what we're about and what we do and thank our customers and community. But we hand out a little American flag like you're talking about, and sometimes instead of a candy cane. But you know, that's neat, though, and we tell a story that this is 100% made in our country and why, and of course we support our veterans, and I right now feel for our veterans, our soldiers that are serving overseas, can't be home with their family, so we do that Socks for Soldiers drive, and right now, you know, always try to send socks over, you know, to the inclement weather that's over there, but it is important. This is American Christmas. We still, like World News you brought up, Mike. Last week I took a look, and I was so happy to see they still got the segment going in December, and it's just awesome. We try to stay in touch with all that we've accomplished, but you know, that helps. When you get the national media behind you, people just pick it up. It keeps it in front of them.
Beautiful. Mark, hold on a second. I have to acknowledge some of our faithful respondents, and also when we come back, we're going to have our buddy from Gas Buddy on with us, Greg Laskowski. So hold on a second. thanks for staying tuned. If you haven't already, go to your telephone, invite family members and friends to tune in. Mark and I will be back. By the way, I want to mention that Rich is in Chicago today, and he tells me that it is less than 10 degrees. Hold on. Well, I'd like to first say thanks to Dr. Vojimiesz Zinn and Everest Dental. They're located at 9892 Bustleton Avenue in Northeast Philadelphia for their faithful support of our broadcast. You can give them a call at 215-671-0188. And also State Farm agent Karen Janad wants you to know that whether you want auto, home, or life insurance, she is there to assist you. You can contact Karen Janad at area code 215-862-5490. And Dr. Eva Machak wants you to know that she has two dental offices in Philadelphia. One is at 3084 Armingo Avenue in Port Richmond. The other is at 4250 Richmond Street in the Bridesburg section. You can give Dr. Eva Machak a call at 215-739-2787. And Martin Bednarek, who is the president of Washington Savings Bank, Kazimierz Wielki, has five locations in the Philadelphia area. You can always depend on Washington Savings Bank. Give them a call at 215-698-9400. And also, if you're planning to do some travel, remember the Polish American Travel Service is located at 2714 East Allegheny Avenue in Port Richmond. For more information, give them a call at 215-634-3396. And the Philadelphia Net Cost Market is located at 11701 Bustleton Avenue. That's at the Leo Mall in Northeast Philadelphia. If you are looking for an unbelievable selection of great products, including meats, groceries, dairy, beverages, and sweets with a European touch, the Net Cost Market is the place for you to go. Check them out on the internet at netcostmarket.com. And Mr. Leon Mankowski, attorney at law, is a faithful supporter of all of our efforts on American Workers Radio and in Polonia. His office is located at 2624 East Allegheny Avenue in Philadelphia. Give him a call at 215-739-8521. And I want to remind all of you, we are on the air today with Mark Andel, and coming up, Greg Laskowski very soon. I want you to know that Mark offers 100% of everything made in America. He has 6,500 items for you to choose from, and many of them are listed on his internet site, and they would make great Christmas gifts. Check them out at madeinamericastore.com. That's madeinamericastore.com. And also, Yolanda Konopacka DeCipio, attorney at law, invites you to contact her for all of your legal matters. Give her a call at 215-423-4824. And I want to thank all of our listeners for calling our advertisers. And when they do, make sure you let them know that you tune in to American Workers Radio here on 860 AM. And by the way, Stephen is here in the room with Henry and I at the studio, and he wants to remind you to check us out on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/American Workers Radio and check out what we have to offer. Well, ladies and gentlemen, and Mark, I want to welcome our expert from Gas Buddy, Greg Laskowski, to give us a little bit of a report on what's happening with the gas situation in the USA. Welcome, Greg.
Good morning, Michael. Thank you very much.
It's always a pleasure to have you on because you give us good news and sometimes bad news, but most of the time let us know what's really happening. What is going on with these gas prices? One day it's up, one day it's down.
Oh, sure. I know there's a lot of volatility, but I can tell you that we're at a time of year when consumers should expect to see low prices. Typically, we see the lowest prices at the pump sometime in the fourth quarter. And there's a number of reasons why this happens. There's a real consistent seasonal pattern that explains all this. But basically, once you get into October is when winter blend gasoline is produced by all the refineries. And that gas is considerably cheaper because it has fewer additives. It takes less time for refineries to produce it. So that's one of the things that really brings about a benefit to consumers in the fourth quarter. What happens toward the end of the quarter, or I should say really into the new year, once we get into, you know, January, early February, you'll see that refineries will be in the process of trying to deplete their inventory of winter blend gasoline because they have to get ready for the production of summer blend gasoline. And this is something that is mandated by the EPA. It's a federal mandate that says summer blend gas has to be sold all across the country no later than May 1st, and it's sold from May 1st through September 30th. But as you might expect, they don't just switch, you know, from one blend easily into the summer blend. There's a process involved, and most of these refineries, you know, this is an aging infrastructure for many of these refineries we're talking about. They have to schedule annual maintenance that has to be done before they can even start the production of a totally different blend of gasoline. So they schedule that maintenance typically in January, February, or early March, depending on the size of the refinery. Now, if you think about it, when you've got about 134 refineries nationwide, and they're all engaged in the same process at approximately the same time, give or take 3 or 4 weeks, it does create a tight supply. And that's the reason why every year in the first quarter of the new year, you can bet the ranch that you're going to see gas prices go up. And as you get closer to Memorial Day weekend, the beginning of the summer driving season, when consumer demand picks up, you're going to see prices accelerate even more so. So this is kind of the seasonal pattern. But I can tell you that 2013 was really a very good year for U.S. consumers from an energy perspective. And the reason I say that is, unlike last year, where we had, you know, some problems with Hurricane Sandy, we had many refinery problems California in the Great Lakes region, and then up in the Northeast right after Hurricane Sandy. 2013 has been a blessing as far as the lack of those types of issues that really create tremendous volatility and do a lot of damage, frankly. And at the same time, we see that the United States is involved in an absolute energy boom right now. We see states like Texas, North Dakota, Oklahoma, and even Pennsylvania to some extent, really benefiting from the tremendous energy boom that we're seeing from, the resources we have in the Marcellus Shale, in Texas, it's the Permian Basin, it's the Bakken region out in the Dakotas, and then in California, believe it or not, we've got what might be the greatest resource, the greatest supply of untapped crude oil anywhere in the United States. It's ironic that the state that's best known for environmentalism and sometimes extremism has untapped crude oil deposits estimated at 15 billion barrels. And just to put that in perspective, that's about four times the size of what the Bakken region in the Dakotas is estimated at, and we know how that's booming. So there's tremendous opportunity. What we will see in the coming years, though, is that our infrastructure, meaning the refining and the transportation logistics, everything that has to get that crude oil to refineries and ultimately to all of us consumers, that's something that really needs upgrading and expansion, because the infrastructure, the pipelines and all that, that's been designed to get all this fuel from regions like Texas up into the middle of the United States and distributed in other places. But we see now with all of this all of these energy sources that we have to find new ways to get this fuel into the markets where it can be refined and then distributed. So there's going to be a lot of investment, I think, in the coming years that's going to help help the market catch up to the real blessings that we've got underground.
Greg, I wanted to ask you, when was the last time we opened a new refinery in the USA?
Probably around 1975.
Wow.
It's been a long time.
Has there been a reason for that kind of a delay?
Well, sure. One of the reasons is that there's a not in my backyard mentality. I mean, many of us understand that we need more refineries, and frankly, we need more refineries in places other than the Gulf of Mexico, where we have such a tremendous concentration of them, because that's something that makes us very vulnerable, even from a defense perspective. But we need more refineries in other parts of the country where they can do the most good. And believe it or not, there's some talk of a new refinery being built in Michigan, and the type of refinery that they're considering there would be a modular refinery where it can actually be built up, it can be disassembled, it can be moved and relocated someplace else. So there's a lot of tremendous engineering developments that can help facilitate things like that. But another reason why we haven't seen the conventional types of refineries being built is that even though we don't see new refineries being built, the current refineries have been able to increase their capacity just with engineering done at these places that enables for, you know, greater production than the amount that they were built for originally.
You know, Greg, I wanted to say this to you. 10 days ago, the gas in Northeast Philadelphia was $3.21. Today, as I was passing down State Road, I thought about you. It's $3.43. Why would you say that would have gone up in the last 10 days or so?
Well, I think you'd have to look at the local refineries, and I have a feeling that the refineries serving your market are relying more on Brent crude than they are on less expensive crudes from other parts of the country. It could be, you know, West Texas Intermediate sells it at quite a discount to crude, and then if you were talking about Canadian crude or some of these other crudes, they sell for even less. That's why if you were looking at fuel prices in the Rocky Mountains, you'd be scratching your head saying, how come we're paying so much more than they are? Because we're talking about a totally different product. Much of the Northeast is using Brent crude, and that's one of the key reasons why you see higher prices. But to get back to your question, why such an escalation in such a short amount of time, I think part of this also reflects the fact that the rise in exports has also had an impact on the Atlantic markets. And it's hard to explain exactly why that is, but I'll do my best. When you have an increase in exports, what that means is it usually means that there's a tightness in available ships that can bring fuel from one U.S. port city to another. And so the reason for that is there's a piece of legislation that goes back to the 1920s, and it was called the Jones Act. The Jones Act prohibits transportation of any cargo. It doesn't have to be oil or any kind of fuel. You can't transport any cargo from one U.S. port city to another if it's not on a U.S. flagged vessel. Well, that shortage of those types of vessels has something to do with the rising prices that we see, believe it or not, in a lot of the port cities we have, especially on the eastern seaboard.
You know, I wanted to ask you, Greg, is this the best we can do with our gas prices right now, or is there a way that could still bring them down? I know that we've had some fluctuations, even in New Jersey. Some of the gas stations a month ago, say 6 weeks ago, went down to $2.99 a gallon, and people were like, wow.
Oh,
and
sure.
And then it creeped up again all of a sudden.
Well, You know, to answer your question, is this the best we can do? I think we can do better, but it's not going to happen in the short term. You know, one of the things that always contributes to the cost of the price of gas at the pump is taxes. And you're hearing a lot of talk in not only at the state level, because many states are very pressured to try to come up with the funds that will help them repair their highways and bridges. The dollars that used to be there from the federal government aren't there anymore. And that's one of the reasons why this burden has shifted from the federal government to the state governments.
Oh, see, that's a good thing that you brought that up, because I didn't know that a lot of that money from the feds was not there anymore.
Oh, yeah, and there's a reason. The reason is that the federal gasoline tax, which is 18.4 cents per gallon, hasn't changed since 1991 or 93, I think. It hasn't changed in a long time. In fact, there's a congressman from Oregon right now who's calling for an increase to push that federal gas tax from 18 cents up to 33.4 cents per gallon. And, you know, in an election year, it's doubtful that that's going to get much traction. But nonetheless, I'm sure you're going to hear more and more discussion about a potential increase in federal gas tax, because we have such glaring needs in our interstate system, on our highways and bridges.
You know, Greg, I got a caller on Facebook, and they want to know, what is the difference between a summer and a winter blend?
Oh, good question. The summer blend gasoline is designed to burn cleaner. That's the whole reason why it's mandated by the federal government. It has additional additives in it that allows it to burn cleaner, and because of those additives, that's part of what pushes up the expense of producing it. It has more of these expensive additives. Winter blend gasoline has things like butane in it, but summer blend gasoline has those additives, and it also takes more time for refineries to produce those blends, and that's something that's mandated from May through September. That's what summer blend gasoline is.
Which is cheaper, summer or winter?
Winter blend is much cheaper.
Okay.
And that's why we typically see the lowest prices of the year, the lowest retail price at the pump. We usually see that sometime in the fourth quarter of every year.
Mm-hmm. Well, as I mentioned earlier, we had those price spikes in the last 10 days from 321 to 343. So I don't know. Maybe that's market. Now, I have a big, big question. Another question is, what percentage of our actual day-to-day use of gas is now coming from overseas?
I'd say about 35%.
Is that an improvement over what happened in the last few years?
It's definitely an improvement. At one time, we were using more than 50% from overseas suppliers. But we're seeing that trend accelerate. In fact, the International Energy Agency just 2 weeks ago said that by the year 2015, now this is only 2 years away, the U.S. will surpass Saudi Arabia and Russia as the world's biggest oil producer. And obviously we are on track to become self-sufficient, and that could be within about two decades.
Now, Greg, you know we discussed this before. When was the last time America was totally self-sufficient from gas from outside providers? Was that in 72 or 73?
Oh, no. No, I'm pretty sure we've had imports for a long time. I would say it's got to be possibly before World War II.
Okay. All right. That was another question people were asking. Greg, I want to remind all of you to check out Greg on the front page of our internet site. Go to AmericanWorkersRadio.com, and you'll see right under the debt clock, you'll see Gas Buddy. Now, what Gas Buddy does, Greg, explain, what does Gas Buddy do?
Sure. We're a network of websites. We run PennsylvaniaGasPrices.com, ChicagoGasPrices.com, you name it, any major market in the United States or Canada. We give consumers access to where they can find the lowest priced gasoline in their neighborhood. You can go on the website and put in your zip code, and it's going to give you a list of the lowest prices. We get that information from thousands of consumers who contribute their information, and in doing so, they also become eligible to win a weekly prize, a $250 gas card, which, by the way, next year is going to be going in a different way. We're going to have daily prizes, so it's an incentive for our loyal Gas Buddy members.
Greg, are you able to stay an extra 5 minutes? Because I want to Mark to ask you a few questions.
Sure.
Okay, I have to stop to acknowledge a few more of our supporters, and they include Mr. Chester Kshanowski, the owner of Sedona's Auto Body Shop and Collision Center, and they have two locations to handle all of your needs. One is at 6201 Oxford Avenue in Northeast Philadelphia. The other is at 691 Bethlehem Pike in Montgomeryville, Pennsylvania. For more information, call Sedona's Auto Body Shop at 215-535-6606. And also, Polka Deli is located at 2719 East Allegheny Avenue in the Port Richmond section of Philadelphia. No matter what you're looking for your special Christmas holiday needs, go to Polka Deli and you will find it. For more information, give them a call at 215-634-3750. And Mr. Michael Steinman, attorney at law, has two offices in Philadelphia. One is at 17th and JFK Boulevard. The other is at 8510 Busselton Avenue. If you have legal needs, remember Mr. Michael Steinman, a faithful supporter of our broadcast. You can give him a call at 215-564-1866. And also, you know, during the Christmas holiday, pierogies and also great mushrooms are available from Giorgio's. Make sure you check them out. When you go to your local store, look for the name Giorgio. They have great frozen food as well as great mushroom products on the shelf and in the freezer. And Nina Titta of J World Travels, located at 2626 East Allegheny Avenue in Philadelphia. For more information, give her a call at 215-634-6006. And also greetings from the Sugar House Casino, located at 1001 North Delaware Avenue in Philadelphia, where Philly loves a winner. Check out Sugar House Casino yourself or check them out online at sugarhousecasino.com. And also Mr. Frank Spula, who is the national president of the Polish National Alliance, wishes all of you a very enjoyable holiday season. For more information, call the Polish National Alliance at 1-800-621-3733. And this Saturday, the 14th, the Polish American Cultural Center Museum at 308 Walnut Street in historic Philadelphia is having their Polish Christmas open house from 11 a.m. until 2:30 in the afternoon. Admission is free. Święty Mikołaj, St. Nicholas, will be there with treats for all of the children. And best wishes as well from everyone from PRCUA, the Polish Roman Catholic Union of America, marking its 140th anniversary of service to Polonia this year. I also want to mention that Net Cost Market is the place you will find a lot of your holiday specialty needs. They're located at 11701 Busselton Avenue in Northeast Philadelphia at the Leo Mall. When you go to the Net Cost Markets, you'll see everything possible with a European flavor. Check them out on the internet for additional information at netcostmarket.com. And this is the time of year that Mark Andel is depending on all of you to check out his internet site and support American-made products. He's guaranteeing that 100% of everything available on his site and in his store is 100% American-made. Give Mark Andel your business and check him out on the internet at madeinamericastore.com. Now, if listeners have a topic or a suggestion and you would like to have bring it to our attention or to one of our panel members, you can visit us on Facebook by going to facebook.com, American Workers Radio, and we will make sure that your suggestions and questions are brought to our panel in the future. I'd also like to mention one more thing, that you can listen to our broadcast 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, by going to the front page of AmericanWorkersRadio.com, and right under the pictures of our panel members, there is a link that says rebroadcasts of American Workers Radio can be heard here. Do click on that, and you'll be able to go to all of the broadcasts that we have done, including the very well-known Paul Downs broadcast from last week. Well, guys, I have a special guest who wants to speak to Greg Laskowski and Mark Andel, and that is Larkin Connolly. Larkin, take it over.
Good morning, Michael. Good morning, Greg. Good morning, Mark. How are you all doing?
Good morning.
I apologize for not being available. And I caught the last portion of your discussion about importing oil. I wish it was as good a news, being an old oil retailer. I wish it could be a little bit better news that our imports are down. But the lion's share of that loss in gasoline that we're importing, which is good news, it comes from a lowering of demand in this country. Demand for finished product in this country is probably off about 27-30% considerably. Would you agree with that, Craig?
You know, I don't know if demand is off as much as you're saying. It depends on what period of time you're talking about. But I would absolutely agree with you that we've seen a long-term trend of demand declining, and it's for a number of reasons. Part of it has to do with our population demographics. We are an aging population in the United States, and we are driving less. The other reason is that the vehicles we're driving are getting much better fuel economy, and part of that is because of the federal mandates for the fuel economy,
which is standing proof that when put to the task, our automobile industry is capable of rising to a higher standard. We know by the 50s, 60s, 70s that they fought those increases in standards, but now now they've proven that they can do that. Unfortunately, if the current administration has its way, we won't even be burning fossil fuels.
Yep. Mark, how is everything going up with fuel prices up in the Buffalo area?
Yeah, it's funny, yes. Greg, welcome back. I enjoyed your show last time, or being part of our show, and I learned something every time. And, our prices, I run diesel trucks, and we have, a little of everything, but with the company, with General Welding, we have the diesel trucks, and I think I talked to you before, Greg, about that. But I see diesel didn't really go down as much as gasoline. To me, like at our pump, it's between 410, 420 still here. I'm outside of Buffalo, New York. Maybe you can answer that. And one other thing, see, when you said like the winter blend would be less, I would assume it'd be more, because I would think just up here in the north with the snow and whatnot, they'd have to put more antifreeze type things into it. But maybe you can explain that a little bit and just touch on the diesel a little bit.
Sure. Well, first, I couldn't really tell you how, whether or not it's blended differently for the colder markets like Buffalo. That's a really good question, and I want to look into that further. But I can tell you that one of the reasons why, in fact, you're absolutely right about the diesel pricing. We haven't seen the real fluctuation, the drop in diesel that, a lot of people might have been expecting. And part of that is because even though demand in the U.S. is flat, demand overseas is tremendous, and that's one of the things that's keeping diesel prices as high as they are.
Makes sense. Overseas, we're shipping more over?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. Not more than gasoline, would you say?
Oh, yes.
Oh, okay. What do you know, a percentage based? Or
I don't have a percentage, but we've seen diesel demand increase over the last, I'd say, 2 to 2.5 years. And the projections are, especially when you look at what types of cars are being planned for introduction into both North America as well as new product lines in Europe, there's going to be a lot more diesel vehicles, passenger vehicles being introduced. And that could introduce, that could mean a greater demand here as well.
Okay, good. Yeah, because I just didn't see when people say gas is down. Of course, I'm usually talking fuel, but and I didn't see that. That makes sense because $4 to me, it was one of the cheapest fuels to refine. You might know more on that. I mean, I guess it's easier to produce diesel than gasoline.
That was true up until maybe 18 months ago.
Oh, is that right?
The federal standards for lower diesel fuel actually make the diesel require more refining time, and that adds to the cost. You're absolutely right. Diesel used to be the cheapest thing you could make. It was the byproduct of everything else, that was coming off the barrel. But these days, there's more refining time being given to the diesel production.
And a diesel engine, a lot of people don't realize, if I bought an F-350 pickup, used to cost $3,000 more to get a diesel. We're up to $7,000-$8,000 more to get a diesel. So then you've got to weigh out the weight difference, the weight that you're adding to your vehicle, and then you've got to add the cost now. So even with generators or welders, people are always weighing now. It's not as easy as a decision just to get a diesel engine because there's so many factors in that the diesel does last longer, but there's a lot of factors you've got to weigh into your decision.
Absolutely, and you certainly have to weigh a climb you could see. I don't even have an estimate on how high diesel could go. It's not something that we get a lot of inquiries on. Most of our focus is on just retail gasoline.
Greg, I have to tell you a little story. At the shore over this summer, we had a birthday party at the dock, and I mean it really was a birthday party at the dock because diesel was so high down the shore that to take a boat out, it just was impossible to do.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, hopefully. Now, are we shipping out more product than we should? Are we saving enough product for United States consumption?
That's a difficult question to answer. I'd have to think that if we were shipping less, that the domestic price could diminish somewhat. But that's an oversimplification because I know there are so many different crudes. You're talking about at least a dozen different crudes just being produced in the U.S. So I can't tell you with certainty that there's a direct link between what we're shipping and whether retaining some of that supply could actually help bring down retail prices. I'm not sure that that's the case.
It's funny, Greg.
I would add two things. When Greg makes a reference to there being a higher demand, that doesn't necessarily mean we're shipping more finished product from this country to Japan or China, although that does happen a little bit. It just really means that the demand is directing the product in that direction. So it's not quite as simple as just loading up a barge and shipping it to China.
Correct.
The other thing is that Greg, you remember that old-time diesel. You'd crank a car up in the wintertime. You'd have to heat up the diesel and with a heater plug and get the engine fired up. And the first thing you know, you look behind you, and it looks like you're a steel mill producing black smog and how dirty that used to burn. That's not the case with diesel anymore. They really have refined that product through not only the refining process but also additives. And it's a lot cleaner burning, a lot more efficient fuel.
That's a good point.
Yeah. Greg, we're talking earlier today about the importance of getting more businesses here in the USA. And, of course, fuel has a big, big impact on everything. No matter what we do, the cost of delivering products to a store, to the supermarket, to wherever, is impacted by what you pay at the pump. So that's why I'm concerned that we are keeping as much of our gas here. When I hear so many reports that we're shipping U.S. refined gas around the world, I'm concerned that we could keep our prices lower here if we kept more of it.
I wouldn't worry if I were you. Believe me, there is a glut of gas in the United States right now.
Okay. You mentioned that, you know, demographics and age, population, and better fuel mileage is really helping it out. In fact, I want to mention, as you're saying that, on the front of our internet site, if you're thinking of buying a car for this end of the year, there's a link that says how much of your car was made in the USA. Check on that. Go into that link, and you'll be really pleased to see what it has to offer. But gentlemen, I want to tell you, Mark Andel, we've done some very great things in the last year, bringing attention to all that we're trying to do to get people turned around. And with the help of Larkin Connolly, Rich Loges, by the way, who's up in Chicago today, he and I spoke, and he says it's less than 10 degrees over there. And Greg told me he was someplace recently, and it was below zero. Where was that, Greg?
That was up in Saskatchewan.
Oh, that was pretty good. Is that better than where you are, Mark?
Yeah, we've been, you know, this is a winter. Our November was colder. I've talked to a lot of even excavating companies. We've been cold like the old 70s winters. We've been, in November, we've had a lot of 0 degrees, 10 degrees. Right now, this winter is shaping up like old winters. Now, the global warming theory, people are probably jumping off bridges because this one doesn't even make sense across the West. We deal with snowplows, boss snowplow cells across the country, and we've seen temperatures, even Aurora, Colorado, you know, 13, 15 below. I just had a friend of the family's up. They've never seen temperatures like this, and Greg, I guess that affects gas fuel sales too. I mean, the cold weather, you know, but it's a different winter. For us, it's good because we're in the snow removal equipment.
Then this is going to be a busy season for you.
Yeah, it helps. I'd like to say one thing on the, you know, my employees use gasoline, which the higher gas is, their disposable income goes down, so it really affects them. Gas is a main player with health insurance and gas. Them are my two concerns for the employees. As a business owner, General Welding and Fabricating, our truck shipping delivery, Mike, which you were touching on, diesel fuel hurts us and raises prices to get product, and we got to pass that along to the consumer. On the Made in America store, as it became a destination, our tour buses are affected by these fuel sales, and if you can't sell a bus full, then they can't sell the ride. So fuel, when we talk about diesel, it's a major player in the economy.
Mm-hmm. Gentlemen, I hate to say it, but I can't believe it. Greg, we really held you much longer than expected, but I want to tell everybody to check out the links on the front page of our internet site. When you go to AmericanWorkersRadio.com, we have several links. I'd like you to check out the 1 Million American Jobs Project. We got over 2 million people clicked on the YouTube. You'll see Gas Buddy, AmeriLoop, Go for America, and of course, Mark Andel's site. I want to thank Greg for being with us today, and also Mark Andel, as well as Larkin Connolly. We'll be looking forward to talking to all of you in the very near future. Until this Saturday at 11 or next Wednesday at 11, I want to thank all of you for tuning in. Spread the word. Go and listen to rebroadcasts by going to the front page of AmericanWorkersRadio.com. Thank you so much, guys.
Thank you.
Have a good week, guys.